Let's catch up.
An NFL podcast with Taylor Bisciotti
and Sam Batesh,
where we talk about the biggest headlines in the NFL.
So, Taylor, you know what? Let's catch up.
It's been too long.
Yeah, we really should.
Blue Wire.
Taylor, let's catch up.
Let's catch up. We are wrapping. It's like 8:34 on the West Coast right now, and this Eagles Redskins game just wrapped up. And what the heck happened?
I mean, first of all, WFT.
Peterson want to
WFT WFT WFT
of the Eagles. I'm confused. How on earth are you still wearing your Eagles sweatshirt right now? That's what I'm confused about.
Look. There was one thing that we wanted the Eagles to do on Sunday night. And I'm here with my cousin, Michael, who is a humongous Eagles fan as well. And Michael said today, you know that we need the Eagles to lose tonight, right? And it's much better from a draft perspective. Less wins at this point, if you're not going to the playoffs, is better than more wins. That's simply the way it goes.
Play football games. I mean, it's tough
to watch a game as a fan and know that it's better for your team to lose. But that's essentially what was happening tonight.
With the Jets and Rams, I mean, we saw that earlier this year when the Jets started winning games. But
look, anything is possible. And the players that are on the field want to win the game. And, of course, Nate Sudfeld.
It was the right move, but
that's okay.
Let's move on to more positive things about Week 17.
Let's please. And now we have an entire playoff scenario ahead of us. And the NFL did us such a favor, Taylor. We don't just have two games on 2 days.
How exciting is this?
We have three games on Saturday and three games on Sunday, which is more fun than we've ever had before in the NFL playoffs.
If you thought it could get any more fun than it was hard to believe. It just happened.
It has happened now. And so with the seven playoff teams that we now have, which of course is great news for us, it wasn't great news for the two seed in the NFC and AFC because now there's no more bye week for that two seed. So Congrats to the Packers and congrats to the Chiefs who have those one seeds. This weekend on Saturday and Sunday. All right.
Let's start off with the NFC. Let's paint the picture of the NFC and let's do our bold predictions.
I love this. So usually we do essentially yay or nay. We're going to run through this. It's not exactly going to be yay or nay. We're just going to basically make our picks for all of the six games that we have coming up this Saturday and Sunday. So let's start, Taylor. I'm going to set you up with essentially the game we just saw, which is WFT. Congratulations to Washington football.
It should be WTF.
Especially with what we saw Sunday night. But look, congratulations to Alex Smith, clearly the comeback player of the year. And here he is now going up against Tom Brady and the Bucs. Here's my favorite part, of course, is that WFT Washington hosts this game as a division winner. So Bucs and Washington, Brady versus Alex Smith. How do you see that game going?
Definitely going to take the Bucs on this one. But I will say that the most positive thing that could have happened to this Washington football team organization did happen this year in the fact that they have Ron Rivera changing and reestablishing the culture and the entire team and what they stand for and who they are, responsibility and character and culture and all of the above, and Chase Young, and they have a defense, and they've got Alex Smith, who's got the most remarkable story. So I am such a fan of the Washington football team, despite having a great record and not being in a good division this year. I love their story. I love who they are, but I do have the Bucs winning.
That's fine. You see what Alex Smith's wife posted on Twitter, which was she took the brace that was around his leg and they actually reshaped it into the Lombardi trophy.
Awesome.
Everybody should check that out on Twitter. Now, do I think that Washington is going to be hoisting the Lombardi trophy? No. I don't, but I will say this much, Taylor. And yes, sometimes we disagree on these things, but I have gone time and time again against Tom Brady and the Bucs this season. It hasn't entirely gone my way, but I love this notion. Every time a team gets in that seems to be unwarranted into the playoffs, and it feels like, how could it be that this team is a division winner, and how could they host a playoff game when they didn't really earn it? Well, you know what? Washington, for what it's worth, they earned their way in. All they had to do was to beat the Eagles on Sunday night after this season of attrition for Washington. And Washington did that. And they're in the playoffs and they're here for a reason. And I will say, I see Washington winning again. I know that people love this story about Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl and playing Tampa in Tampa. And that's wonderful. But I'm going to say Washington moves on to the divisional round and not the Bucs. So you're going Tampa. I'll go with Washington.
I'm going to Tampa. And I also have to say that, and I am the first person to critique and get tired of the Brady storyline, but I do think that he has been a major storyline that has been overlooked this season. I do not feel like the media, and I know that we talk about Brady all the time, but I don't feel like they've given him enough credit for how good he has been this season. He today, for example, passed for 399 yards, 4 touchdowns. Yes, he had an interception, but he's had multiple games of, he had 40 touchdown passes this season. The fifth quarterback with at least 40 touchdown passes in multiple seasons. And people tend to just, I feel like people, because it happens so frequently, because we're used to him playing so well, it's kind of just, oh, well, Brady does it again. But I think that you really just need to look at how incredible and like how astronomical this feat really is at his age, joining a new team.
Definitely don't overlook the Brady season, his first in Tampa. And when you see obviously what happened with New England this season, you've got to say, wow, Tom Brady, that's him sort of winning that argument.
Stamping his legacy outside of Belichick, and Belichick was not able to do the same.
That's it, period. I mean, that's it. I mean, when they say the ultimate, in the end, the ultimate way to make your point is the scoreboard. And the scoreboard says simply that Tampa is in the playoffs and the Patriots are not. And Brady, with 40 touchdown passes and only 12 interceptions this season. Congrats to him. I say it.
One fun fact that I just read was that obviously Aaron Rodgers, he's my vote for MVP, but Rodgers had 12 games with at least 3 touchdown passes this season, tied with none other than Tom Brady.
A remarkable season. And for Bruce Arians, by the way, let's add Brady to the list of quarterbacks that Arians has worked with and made better. Of course, Brady's done a lot without Arians, but Brady will go under Arians' resume as well. And we're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Carson Palmer, and now Tom Brady. And of course, James Winston had, of course, his greatest season of all time under Bruce Arians. But Arians knows how to work with quarterbacks. And yet again, with Tom Brady, this was quite a match this season. They couldn't be the Saints.
But I love that we have different takes on this one. It makes it more
fun. That's a fun one. All right, let's move on. The Rams and the Seahawks, which is a great, I love that we get a divisional matchup here in the playoffs and a rematch for the third time here between Seattle and LA. This has been back and forth all season. The Rams are a tough team to figure out here. But Taylor, how do you see the Rams at the Seahawks here, wild card weekend?
I have the Seahawks beating the Rams. I don't know what it is. I just feel like since that Jets game, and maybe a little bit even before then, the Rams look really good some weeks. I remember thinking over Thanksgiving, wow, like this is one of the best teams in the league, but they are just inconsistent. And I am not going to bet on Jared Goff at all. I don't know whether or not he's going to be the quarterback that plays this upcoming weekend, because after the game today, Sean McVay was not sounding very
optimistic. No, not really optimistic about him at all.
Even if I think that John Wolford honestly gives them a better chance to win, which is shocking. But I'm gonna go with Seattle on this one. Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, they look too good.
It's interesting. I was ready to say that the Rams were going to take this. I think the quarterback situation, as you alluded to, it's so up in the air. It's really difficult to say at this moment that you would go confidently with the Rams on anything right now. It's just that situation has been back and forth. This team shows up, plays incredible against Tampa, plays incredible against Seattle 1 week, and then turns around and loses to the Jets. I really just don't know what we're getting week in and week out with the Rams. I'm the one that said this was going to be a resurgent season for the Rams. They are back in the playoffs. McVay and Goff at times this season
have looked great.
Like, that's the whole team.
And you see that 2018 Jared Goff.
It, in many ways, it was that comeback season for the Rams, but like you, I don't see it going any further. And granted, Seattle has been a special team. They certainly turned it around.
And I will say that the Rams have had this the Seahawks number until this past matchup. There's the most recent matchup a couple weeks ago where the Seahawks were finally able to get that win. So I do think that it's going to continue. I just don't see that changing.
I don't love the quarterback situation. Even if Goff plays, we don't feel like he's 100%. And even though this, look, it's not like the Seahawks have really been the team that they were through the first 8 weeks of this season. The Seahawks certainly had a decline there. But again, in a game with the Niners today that even got a little hairy, the Seahawks seem to have that switch when it comes down to winning time right now. I see it just like you do. Seattle getting past the Rams. Now let's move on. Here's a fun one. Mitch Trubisky is in the playoffs again. I mean, for all the things that this guy gets, Trubisky, not an amazing game against the Packers on Sunday, but you've got Trubisky being hosted by the Saints, wild card round.
Not even worth even discussing or arguing or conversation. Let's just go with the Saints on this one. I think we can both agree.
Okay, that's it. All right, you got the Saints. All right, let's move to the AFC wild card as well now. And let's go to a game that, of course, you've had circled since last season and how wonderful that we get this rematch again, Taylor. The Ravens and the Titans. This time,
I was so hoping the Texans were going to somehow help us out, pull out a W against the Titans, which would mean that the Ravens could have the Colts. But, you know, one can only wish.
You should look, Taylor. This is really what Ravens fans would have wanted, right? I mean, this is the bad take.
I think that they would have probably wanted to hold it in their mouth.
Okay, true, but the Titans and Ravens
for the best game, yes.
This is a fantastic treat on Wild Card Weekend. How do you see this one going? I know the Titans obviously
last year in the playoffs in Baltimore, but then they beat them again this year. But I do see the Ravens look like a different team now than they were when they played the Titans earlier this season. Since week 13, especially since they played the Browns, all of a sudden they got into the groove that we kind of all were hoping for that they would be at the beginning of the season. They got their running game going. J.K. Dobbins has been explosive. Gus the Bus has been incredible. Lamar has been back on track where not only he's been able to complete passes better than he had been all season, but he's been able to run the ball better than he has been all season. I don't love the matchup in the sense that the Titans' weakness is their corners, and I don't think the Ravens really exploit that very well. So it's a tough matchup for them, but I do think that as of recently, and if they are able to continue playing the way that they played today, which was rushing the ball for over 400 yards, keep in mind, I know it's against
the Ravens. Say that again. They rushed it for
over 400 yards. I mean, that's just, it was insane. When they compared that to teams that have done that in the past, it was like in the 1950s. So yes, it's incredible. I realize it's against the Bengals, but I'm more confident in this matchup against the Titans this week than I have been the last matchup, the last two. I think that the combination of J.K. Dobbins, Lamar, and Gus is better than Derrick Henry.
Let's say this much. I'm not sure what happened when he came down with COVID and got sick.
I know, right? Made it better.
Well, since he came off that COVID list, this team was 6-5 through the first 11 games and 5-0 over their last five. And not only that, Taylor, the rushing yards, 158 yards a game through the first 11 games of the season. And over the last five, 267 yards of rushing a game. That is unheard of. And not only that, Lamar, 15 touchdowns to 2 interceptions over that stretch. And of course, one of those touchdowns, the incredible game that we spoke so much about, was that Ravens-Browns Monday Night Football game. But that seems to define this season for these Ravens. And unlike last season, when this was just the best team in football through the entire season, there's something interesting now about Baltimore, which seems to be, quote, peaking at the right time. Ravens are the scary team in the playoffs.
They have that weird thing. All of a sudden they get hot from December on and they're like the scary team that nobody wants to face. And I certainly want to be a team that faces them right now.
Yes. And so again, I'm going to go
with the Ravens.
I wanted before this game against Cincinnati today, I wanted to see it as, look, if they get matched up again with the Titans, it's going to go the same way. They lost to Tennessee in the divisional round last year. They lost in overtime in the regular season this year, and it's going to happen again. But as I tried to put together an argument for this, you're right. Yes, everyone thinks of the Titans as the running team with Derrick Henry and 2,000 yards. Congratulations. But it's the Ravens. They're the number one rushing team in this league, and that is going to be the difference. And like you said, the three-headed monster as opposed to the one-headed monster is going to win out in the playoffs. I see it like you do. Let's move on to another fun one.
Sam, I can't believe this.
No, I know. We're agreeing a little too much. That's why we're going to go to this next one. All right, let's go to I'm thrilled that the Browns, and I know you are too, are in the playoffs. And so fun that we get another divisional game. And I love when teams get to play in the playoffs, and it's that third match of the season. And here we are with Cleveland and Pittsburgh, an incredible rivalry that, of course, has gone one way for so long. Mm-hmm. Congrats for Cleveland today. Of course, they weren't exactly playing the Steelers that they're going to be playing this weekend.
Talk about a team, the Steelers, that started so hot and then just faltered. But, I see the Browns. They have some serious momentum behind them. They're making the playoffs for the first time since 2002. They are snapping such a big losing streak, and the momentum is behind them. I think that they're going to get their players back from COVID. And even though the Steelers are going to play Ben Roethlisberger, I think they're the better team all around. I think that they're running the ball better. I think Chubb is a force to be reckoned with. I think Baker is playing better than Ben Roethlisberger is, obviously, right now. I think the Browns are rewriting their story, and they are not going to lose to the Steelers in this first round of the playoffs. They got to the playoffs. It's obviously been something that they've been wanting to do for forever, since 2002. They're not going to lose in this first round.
I love that you have this story going this way for Cleveland. And I want to see it that way, because I think it's a much more fun story. I think Baker, Baker instills that confidence that lives in him regardless. I mean, he wouldn't have to win a game to walk around with confidence.
The difference between Baker this year and last year is the fact that Baker he's not just like this arrogant, cocky, you know, young kid that he was for a while, where he was kind of always on the, I guess, defensive, but it came out very offensive because he was just very snarky. He loses a game. He makes a bad play. He takes the blame for the entire game, let alone just the part that he did wrong. He's carried this team on his back. I'm impressed with him just all around. Like, I feel like he personally developed so much this year.
And you saw today with the first down that he ran for on Sunday, mm-hmm. not only clinched the game, but obviously clinched the playoff spot. You could sense the emotion of the entire city running through him in that moment when he gets up from getting the first down and just runs towards the camera and throws his arm out. First down. I mean, he's telling the city, like, here we go. This is my moment. This is our moment. And it was just the energy that surges through Baker Mayfield is infectious. And when you watch, it's tough not to root for him. I will say this. There isn't a team Cleveland wants to see less in the playoffs than Pittsburgh. They'll tell you what they wanted.
I agree.
They'll tell you this is what they wanted, because that's what they're supposed to say.
And they always
have. Man, does Pittsburgh have something psychological over Cleveland? I'm sorry, but it exists. And if there's a team that Pittsburgh wanted to see, it's Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Tom got something there. Pittsburgh has something there. And again, I think the Steelers are going to discover the team that they were. And I think they really had before this game. It's tough to say that the Steelers on this particular Sunday weren't operating on all cylinders, because they weren't really operating with all parts. And anytime Roethlisberger isn't playing for this team, it's just not even really worth dissecting. So fantastic, incredible, lovely story for the Browns. I'm going to disagree with you
right here.
I'm sorry. I think Pittsburgh, this is a special season for Pittsburgh. You and I spent so much time last year commending Mike Tomlin mm-hmm. for what he did with what we saw today. This is essentially the team that he coached today. It was the team he had all of last season with Mason Rudolph, and he got that team to 8-8. And now with Roethlisberger, I just think they're out to prove that they were the team that they were before losing to Washington. That undefeated team, that team that looked like they could run through anybody and anything. Pittsburgh's starting to rediscover that with Connor. They've got something in Claypool, Deontay Johnson. I mean, the fact that Juju isn't even really that number one receiver yet, we know that he can be a number one receiver, and he just happens to not be statistically this season.
You can argue that he's number three right now.
But we know what he can be. So that's nice. I mean, when you say that, it's nice to have Juju as your third receiver.
100%.
So clearly this team is
three, personally, but
yeah, of course not. This is a deep team. And I see it as a close game. I see it as a fun game down to the wire, but this one's going to go. It just seems the breaks in this series in recent memory go to the Steelers. It's just, it happens again and again that Pittsburgh gets the breaks when it comes down to the series. So that's how I see it. And the last one here of this wild card weekend, Taylor, Miami absolutely didn't show up at all on Sunday, and Indianapolis knew what they had to do to get in, and Phillip Rivers and the Colts absolutely did what they had to and deservedly are in this spot, and congrats to Frank Reich. But Colts and Bills, and man, has Buffalo looked good. But how do you see this one in Buffalo, Taylor? The Colts.
Bills are the hottest team in the AFC right now.
Yeah. Scary.
I'm going all the way with the Colts.
Scary hot. You could say arguably the hottest team, and it's tough to not talk about the Chiefs when you talk about hottest teams, but you could arguably say that in all of the NFL, the Ravens and the Bills are the scary teams on top right now. So you see this as the Bills. I also see the Bills here. And then now, look. Indy, certainly, and another impressive day from Jonathan Taylor. And for Rivers, I love this story also for Rivers all season. To come from L.A., to come to a new team and immediately have them in the playoffs. You know, great story for Brady, what he did in Tampa, and then for Rivers as well with Indy in the playoffs. But I see it like you do. I see this as the Bills all the way. The Bills are sort of on a scary mission, it seems. It seems that the Bills are on a scary mission. All right, so Taylor, so we've got all those wildcard teams. And now quickly, I just want to find out from you what we have. We want to talk about what our conference championship is going to be, and then what we think is going to happen for the Super Bowl as well. And before we do that, I just want to say, everybody that's listening right now, please go to indeed.com/BlueWire. Let them know that you listen to Let's Catch Up. Let them know that you listen to Blue Wire Podcast. You're going to get a free $75 credit to boost your job post. That means more quality candidates are going to see your job posting, and they're going to see it fast. Again, $75 credit, indeed.com/BlueWire. That is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now, indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Get there. Let them know that Taylor and Sam, Let's Catch Up, sent you. Blue Wire Podcast, indeed.com/BlueWire. All right, Taylor. Now I see all the teams that you have, but who do you have in the NFC championship game? Of course, we haven't really talked about the one seeds because we're running through all the wild cards, but who do you have in the NFC championship game?
I've got Packers and Saints.
That's a fun one. That would be incredible. That is, and by the way, that's exactly how I see it. I want it to be different than you. Yes, I had Washington winning instead of the Bucs.
I feel like accomplished if we have the same exact.
It's theory. Not quite fun, but trust me, we will disagree again throughout this. This
I feel like I have the same theory as Yoda.
But Packers and Saints, we both have Packers and Saints in the NFC Championship, which means neither one of us have Tom Brady going to the Super Bowl in Tampa. But all right, so NFC Championship, Packers and Saints. Now your give me your AFC championship now.
I have the Bills.
Wow.
Over.
You've got the Bills and you've got what, the Chiefs, I would imagine, right?
The Bills and the Chiefs.
Okay. Yeah. So you've got Bills and Chiefs. I have Chiefs and Steelers in the AFC championship game. So we see the NFC the same, but we see the AFC differently. All right. So who do you have? I see Pittsburgh beating Buffalo. So I've got this. I told you. I think the Steelers are out to prove that they were that team that was undefeated. Okay. That's a team that I think has a scary mission from last season and a lot to prove. And Ben is just
So I have the Bills over I have the Chiefs over Cleveland, then the Bills over Baltimore.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. And the seeding again, the way the seeding works out. That's why you've got that AFC championship. Right. So we both see the NFC the same way with the Packers and the Saints, but who do you have in the Super Bowl between the Packers and the Saints?
I have Packers.
Okay. So in the
Super Bowl, winning it all.
Do you? Wow. So you've got the Packers winning it all. The Packers over the Chiefs. And I, because I had
to have.
That's exciting. So you have Rodgers essentially winning the regular season MVP, and I would imagine at that point Super Bowl MVP.
I do. Who did you have? I've got to figure out.
Okay, so I had the Packers and Saints. I have the Saints in the Super Bowl, and I don't have Pittsburgh going. I do think the Chiefs will be there again, but Drew Brees, perhaps a farewell season. Saints over the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I think the Saints are a scary team with that. What we saw that Christmas night with Kamara in the end zone six times. This is a team that's had heartbreak over the last three seasons in the playoffs. I mean, just think about what has happened to the Saints for three seasons in a row. There was the miracle, the Minnesota miracle with the Diggs play. There was the non-pass interference call that sent the Rams to the Super Bowl. And then there was what many are calling the push-off Kyle Rudolph touchdown in New Orleans last season in the wild card round. These Saints have had some awful luck. And
I have to agree with you on that.
So that's is a farewell for New Orleans. You have Rodgers as the regular season MVP and the Super Bowl MVP, which is pretty special.
Honestly, and we're probably more to catch up about this week.
Definitely. Much more to say. We will dive further into those matchups,
Tweet us, message us, Instagram us, let's catch up and let us know what your picks are.
Please get us at Let's Catch Up NFL, at Taylor Bashotti, at Sam Batesh. Taylor, let's definitely catch up.
Episode, we're going to have to like put something on this to see like, you know, who wins. What do we get? Like a chocolate cake? I mean.
Well, we'd have to. What fries?
Chocolate cakes. I don't know. Maybe something great. We'll come up with something.
Well, Happy New Year, Taylor. Happy New Year, everybody else. And there it is. And enjoy what they're calling the Super Wild Card Weekend.